thank you, Prem, and thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanalem, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And welcome to this last leg of Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the time in the studios now is 8:40, and today is August 1st, 2013. Almost 10 days since we celebrated the festival of Guru Purnima in Prashantanalem, but the celebrations actually are on. They are still going on in Prashantanalem. Even though Guru Purnima day was on July 22nd, since that day, almost every day we've been having programs in the mandir. It actually started a week before July 22nd. On July 14th itself, we had the students of Bhagwan's University perform a beautiful drama, and then on July 18th, we had Ashadi celebrations begin, and that went on for 3 days. And then on 21st July, we had a lovely musical presentation by the students of the nursing college of Baba's super speciality hospital. Here is a glimpse of that. So that was a glimpse of the musical presentation by the students of the nursing college of Baba Super Speciality Hospital in Bangalore, and that happened in the Guru Purnima season on July 21st. And then the next day was the Guru Purnima day, July 22nd. Plenty of programs in the morning and in the evening. You can watch all the videos of this day on our website radiosai.org. After the Guru Purnima day, the festivities, as I mentioned, went on. On July 23rd, we had the Mexican choir.
ojos catarcos, la norteña de mis amores, que se mira dentro de ellos como si fueran destellos de las piedras de colores. Cuando me miran contentos, me parece un jardín de flores, y si llora me parece que se van a deshacer. Linda, no llores.
So that was the Mexican choir, a medley of Mexican folk songs followed by a bouquet of devotional songs, and this was in celebration of 40 years of the Mexican Satya Sai organization. So this happened on the 23rd, and on 24th we had a soulful offering by the devotees from the Glendale Arcadia Sai Center in Southern California.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom.
Hey, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom.
Shabbat shabbat, Shabbat shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom.
Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Shalom.
Anachnu Maamini Mei Maamini,
Anachnu Maamini Mei Maamini.
Elano
Avile Hishoe,
Elo Elo Alavino,
Elo Elo Alavino,
Avino Shefa Shamai.
So that was a beautiful compilation of devotionals from major religions of the world, Hinduism, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, Christianity and Islam, offered to Bhagwan during Guru Purnima celebrations on the 24th by the devotees from Glendale Arcadia Sai Center in Southern California. And this happened on July 24th. And the next program was this beautiful choir by the devotees from Europe. There were songs in Polish, in English, in Hebrew, in Latvian, in Lithuanian and Estonian. And this happened on 27th of July.
Thank you.
That was the European choir led by conductor Maria Kues, devotees from Zone 7, Region 73 of the Satyasaya organizations, and they had named their international choir as Sarvadharma. And as I mentioned, it had the theme of unity of religions, and there were songs in different languages from Polish, English, Polish, Hebrew, Latvian, Estonian, and so on. And so this happened on 27th, and the Guru's Purnima celebrations moved on. And the boys took over on 28th the next day when the students of Sri Satyasai Mirpuri College of Music made their offering to Bhagwan. So that was the offering by the students of the Sri Satyasai Mirpuri College of Music on July 18th. And then on the 30th, we had a very different presentation. The Sai Kulwant Hall reverberated with those sublime and sonorous calls, the sonorous chants, praying to Allah. The devotees from the Middle East and Gulf countries made their special presentation commemorating the festival of Ramadan, which is going on now. and they sang in Sanskrit and Arabic.
ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون
So that was the program by the devotees from Middle East, and that happened on the 30th of July, and today, August 1st, you heard devotees from United Kingdom offering their love to Swami. There was this beautiful concert by Miss Rupa Panisar on the sitar and her team. Amazing soulful music. If you have missed this, you must watch this and you must relish this offering. We will upload this video on our site in a day or two. And with this, the Guru Purnima celebrations probably finally came to a close. Almost a fortnight of celebrations. And even as this was happening in the Sai Kulwant Hall for all the pilgrim devotees visiting this temple town, there was plenty happening internally in the Sai organization too. In fact, Guru Purnima festival is the time when all office bearers of the Sai organization and the trustees of all Sai trusts meet in Prashantinilayam. This has been the convention laid down by Bhagwan since many years. And so for all the people with positions and responsibilities in the Sai organization, there were numerous meetings and many significant decisions taken. For instance, given that we have so many natural disasters in the recent times, an International Disaster Relief Committee was formed by the International Sai Organization. Similarly, in India, elaborate plans are being laid and funds allocated to do rehabilitation work in the damage caused to people in Uttarakhand. So these are just two examples. So there were plenty of such decisions taken. There were meetings of state presidents, meetings of office bearers, meetings of Balvikas, gurus, and everywhere new ideas and new plans and new detailed instructions about the carrying out of Bhagwan's mission in the next year and the fourth and the coming years. And one person who was extremely busy in this period is Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the Prashanti Council, the body which looks after the activities of the worldwide international Sai organization. On the day he arrived to Prashanti Nilayam, that is a few days prior to Guru Purnima, I requested him to come to the studios and share about the recent developments and initiatives of the International Sai Organization. But he was extremely tied up with many engagements. Finally, after the Guru Purnima day was over, on the day before he was to leave, that is on July 26th, I managed to get a good 1.5 hour with him, wherein he narrated many interesting anecdotes about the Sai movement that he has personally witnessed, as he has been constantly traveling to oversee the activities of the organization in various countries and continents. So I thought it would be a good idea to hear him, as it is so current, so fresh, so refreshing. I should say it is really elevating to hear how Swami's love and grace is manifesting in various corners of the globe in mysterious ways. So dear listeners, that is what we will be doing now. We will listen to this first part of the conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy. But before we begin, before we get on with that, let us offer our most sincere and grateful salutations to Bhagwan for having blessed us with this opportunity of knowing Him, of loving Him, of living in His presence, and pray that we always have Him as our God, our goal, as our sole aim and inspiration in life, and pray that we live up to His expectations. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today, as I just said, we hear the first part of the conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the International Sai Organization. It was recorded on July 26, 2013. Professionally, Dr. Reddy has been a consultant and practicing internist endocrinologist in Southern California for nearly 35 years now. He graduated in medicine with distinction from SV Medical College, Tirupati, Andhra Pradesh. He then went on to the United States of America, where he specialized in internal medicine and endocrinology. He is a fellow of the American College of Physicians and the American College of Endocrinologists, California. Most importantly, four generations of Dr. Reddy's family are devotees of Bhagwan, with Dr. Reddy himself having come to Swami at the age of 5. In fact, since 1984, Dr. Reddy and his family have had a Sai Baba center in their home in California. And as I just said, he is currently the chairman of the Prashanti Council, the governing body which oversees the activities of the international Sai organizations. So, here is the first 45 minutes of this conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy. Sairam sir, and thank you very much for taking time off in the midst of many meetings, thanks to the Guru Purnima celebrations, that we are able to sit for some time in this conference hall itself and discuss about Bhagwan and the Sai movement that you have seen. You've been traveling a lot in the last couple of years as the chairman of the International Sati Sai Organization. So if you could share with us some of those indelible memories and those scenes which flash before your mind as you now recollect and think about the Sai movement as you have seen in the last couple of years.
First, I want to wish happy and holy Guru Purnima to everyone, and I am grateful to Bhagwan and the listeners and the Radio Sai for the opportunity to share Bhagwan's universal and eternal message and His pure divine love. I know I am very busy with many meetings, but always I feel the highest responsibility is to share His love and message with the fellow pilgrims on the spiritual path. So you are right, this is the first time we are having this interview in this Prashanti Council conference room, which has been very busy in the last 1 week with many, many meetings we have with the zonal chairs, senior leaders like directors of the World Foundation, Prashanti Council members, committee chairmen of the various committee of the World Foundation. So probably for me this is very important climax, because this is where we are just completely focusing on Swami's message and love. The others was the work we have to do, even though we also have some satsang, but this is completely focused on Swami's love and message. And you were talking about my travel around the world. I'm really grateful to Bhagavan for that opportunity. Once he told me, go around, you'll see the glory and love of Swami. I can relate to that actually. When you read this book, V.K. Gokak, the first Vice Chancellor of the Satsa Institute of Higher Learning, he wrote the book called Divine Master. He said Swami told him to go around the world. He says only then he knew how glorious Swami was, because he says when you are so intimately connected with him, he says, staying next door to him, he asks, can you borrow your razor or something like that, you relate to him, human aspect. When he traveled to United States those days, he says, now I know who Swami is in glory. Similarly, in my life, I find I had fortunate to have a lot of glorious moments with our Lord, but still when you travel, you realize how infinite and unfathomable is His glory. There is a beautiful song, Teri Mahima Likhi Na Jaye, Teri Mahima Kahi Na Jaye. You really know how limited, and but it is very wonderful to see the glory of Swami sung in so many languages, in so many cultures, in so many countries. So, because I had extensive travel in all continents, North America, Central America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, so I don't want that this will take a long time. I'll confine myself to the recent visits I had after the Mahashivaratri. I'll confine myself to that.
Last 2-3 years.
Yeah, last few months. So after this Mahashivaratri, after first we went to Nepal, and I was really amazed to see the Sai movement there. They have about 192 centers, and the more important is 90 centers own their own buildings. Not a small building. There are three-storied buildings, one story just for doing bhajans, one for educational activities, one for service activities. And economically, this is not a very strong country. But to see that the 90 centers own their own buildings, and that they're not small, huge buildings, was a eye-opener for me to show their dedication and love for Swami. And also, wherever I go, it's amazing to see their love for Swami. Thousands of people come and they touch your hand and they want to do Padmaskar. We always prevent. I said, only Swami you do that. But you can see their love, and when you are sharing Swami's love, they think you are one with Swami. That kind of love and respect and adoration for Swami. And also, it's almost like a household word in Nepal. So many people know about Swami. And also, I was impressed with the various service activities they do. Even they do it along with the people who are not devotees of Swami. Like, I visited an orphanage, and I visited an old age home, and we visited the schools, such size schools. It's interesting, it is such a well-known school, reputed school. I was going with the principal in the car one day, and he gets a call from the president's office with the recommendation, please, can you get that particular change in the school?
From the president's office?
Yes,
the president of the country.
President of the country. So, this man, I was impressed with this man, even though the recommendation from the president's office, he didn't yield to it. Yes, sir, very obligingly, respectfully said, yes, we will look into that, and as long as he fits the criteria, we will definitely take. That shows this man is really following Swami's guidelines, not yielding to pressures from the powerful figures. And also, I was happy they had a meeting in the Rashtrapati Bhavan with the president, and he had wonderful things to say about the Satsai organization. He says he's really admires the way they are doing the work, and he says he is giving all his support and he wants the organization to do more and more. And actually I was also had a national TV interview and radio interview. They were supposed to be for half an hour. And they said they were getting so many calls from different places, they extended it for almost more than an hour. Because they're supposed to block only half an hour, they said so much interest on the Sai movement, so they have the people calling in, and then they said, sir, can you extend? I said, so I was talking about Swami. So I'm sharing this to show how much interest people have in the Sai movement.
We have no clue about the intensity of the movement.
Yes, and in the TV interview, in the national TV, they said they were not even aware of that, the magnitude of such Sai movement around the world. They knew what is happening in Nepal, then I related it is, don't think it is just in Nepal, more than 115 countries we have such Sai movement, then they were even more excited to know about that. And also those devotees are wonderful. I can just relate to you an incident. Once I went to an orphanage home, and this doctor couple were supporting, and they are supporting one orphanage. They said they send their orphanage children to the same school which there they send their children. That means they are paying extra tuition fees, not like because they are orphan children's second grade school, the same school where they send their children to. I was amazed to show that how Swami says treat everybody same. So that was really wonderful to see in Nepal.
That's really wonderful. You mentioned just like in Nepal, people were so thrilled when you said that the Sai movement is going on in 115 or more countries, and you had the chance to let them know. I think a lot of our listeners and viewers also probably have no idea about what is happening in so many other countries, and
yes,
you had the chance to see,
yes,
like in Nepal, probably in other countries.
Yes, many countries. That is why when we made that annual report last year, we will be bringing out similar thing this year in November, every birthday. So even some of the senior leaders in India, they were amazed to see that Sai's presence in remote countries like Croatia, Lithuania, and all this Montenegro, and all those countries, people don't even imagine that such Sai organization is there doing a lot of good work.
If you can tell us some stories about these countries that you went
to. So then I went from there, I will go to the sequence. Then I went to Thailand. When I went to Thailand, then I went to the institute which is run by Autong Jimsai. So the first time I went there, I never went there before. Beautiful landscape, my God, it is in a valley with the mountains, and it is like a classical case of Gurukula. It is for an experienced people should go and see that. The children stay within the campus, they cook their own food, and they have their own energy supply. He is even developing solar energy, and they develop the energy from the garbage, and even they do the exercise cycling, from that they develop the energy. So they're all self-sufficient, all the lighting, everything is their own generated energy from the natural resources. That man is amazing how he made the children, and from, I could interact with a lot of children from morning to evening. So it is almost like, it is not like a regular school, not only the human values, but they teaching them self-reliance. They cook their own food, they clean their own dishes, and they organized and disciplined. I was really impressed on the very beautiful natural settings, and serenity was very inspiring for me. So that was next in Thailand. After that, I went to Cambodia and Laos. And in Laos is another thing. And they arranged a meeting in Laos. So there, the devotees are not many, few hundred or less. But when they arranged a meeting, about 100 Buddhist monks came. A lot of senior government officials, including the ministers, they appeared to show that they are really, you know, it's a difficult country. It is like not easy to talk about Sai, and it is restricted for the religious organizations. But even there, they were showing so much interest, and they had a beautiful cultural program by the children, of the Laotian children. It was very touched. They are Laotian dancers, and then they have bhajans and all that. I was, oh my God, this is kind of things where Swami is touching the hearts of the people in remote corners of the world. And all these places, they do so much work. Like when I went to Cambodia, there are not many devotees, but there they related an incident. They were looking for a building, but they don't have enough funds. Then suddenly one day one person comes, "Sir, I want to give the..." He's a Christian, he's not a Sai devotee. He's a four-storied building, fully furnished. "I want to give it to you for education purposes." "Why do you want to give?" "God tells me to give it to you." He didn't say Sai Baba or anything. God shows that when you want to do good work, the Swami says, "We have good sankalpa, God fulfills in some way or other." I was really moved. Four-storied building, fully furnished. Somebody who never heard of Swami comes and volunteers to the related these stories. These kind of things go on. So that was about Laos.
Fantastic. You mentioned about Thailand and Laos and Cambodia. In fact, Thailand is a place where the Institute of Satya Sai Educare, about which you mentioned, I think a lot of material generation in Educare movement and a lot of momentum that the Satya Sai Educare movement has gained today has its genesis in Thailand.
Yes.
From that center. I think a lot of teachers have gone there, got trained, and now you have so many such institutes set up in different continents.
Yes, Dr. Artong Jumsai is really a wonderful person. I know him as a great educator, but first time when I met, some of the talks he gave, he's one of the all-round personalities. He is a scientist, you know, he worked on the programs, astrophysics or something, and he also is a, kickboxer. Yeah, he's a kickboxer. And he's an actor, because when he gave a talk in San Luis Potosi, Mexico last October, the way he was expressing, I said, "He looks like an actor." I said, "Are you actually?" "Yes, he acted in movies." He says, "Which are shown." And he's a politician. He was a member of parliament. And he's a great devotee and educationist. But his dedication, morning to evening, is so much. That's why the success of the program is so much dedicated to the Sai movement. And I was surprised. I thought the many teachers were trained. The other day he said 100,000 teachers, not scientists, they're all the people from all over Thailand. Government is sponsoring that. I was amazed to hear that figure. There are many people from all over the world go, from USA, Europe and other countries go there for the Satya Sai education, human values programs, get their diplomas. But I'm talking about the regular, which is sponsored by the government. I was amazed to see that. Yes. Again, I asked him repeated, is that that many teachers over these years? And you know, we have total number of institutes in the world. We have 28 institutes, these education institutes in 27 countries. And also we have 41 such size schools outside India, which provide the education for the children.
And I think a lot of Sai movement, especially in the Latin American countries and in Africa, it has gained a lot of momentum because of these EHV movements.
Right, exactly. Actually, it is good things. I was there in Russia just a few weeks ago. So just May, they had a conference in Russia. Once a year, they have a conference where all the devotees from different parts of Russia come. I was talking about Kazakhstan, where also the first lady of Kazakhstan, she is interested in the Satya Sai education, human values. She was very supportive, and our leaders in Satya Sai organization, Mrs. Marianne Myers and Petra Kolansky, she's the zonal chair and Prashanti Council members, they went there and they had written a big letter saying that how much it inspired them. This is the greatest gift they had. So they were very appreciative. And again, Artong Jimsai was telling me just last week, he had invitation especially to go there, again, talk about the human values. So, and then when I was there in this time, the conference was in St. Petersburg. And there were a few hundred devotees from all over Russia, some people taking 5-6 days and train to come and attend the conference. I was really touched with their emotion and very interesting, cute. One time they were telling, they were paying to Swami, they were doing some service activity. They said, "Swami, show me your presence." So they were distributing the food, and there was one potato just in the form of a love heart. So just expressing heart, showing Swami's presence. I never saw any potato in the form of a heart. So another time they were praying, and then the clouds appeared in the shape of a heart during their service activity. So just Swami is showing the presence. And one time I was more even one way pained and one way admiring is people from a country called Uzbekistan. And there, you cannot have, in the recent past, you cannot have Sai books, or you can have Sai pictures in your house. If they have, they have fine. 10 of our devotees, they were fined about $3,000 each one. And that lady who was in charge, she was telling me, I was very sad to know that. I told them, don't tell this is a service organization. They said, no. And $3,000 for them is a big money. Their average earnings is about $50 per month. So they were punished. Still, they go secretly some other place near a mountain and they get together and sing Swami's glories and read Swami's teachings. So and this lady was telling how she was harassed by the police. She, one time they came to her house, do you have Sai books? And she says, you come to the police station. When she says, I will talk to my lawyer, they said they will frame her with some drug, saying that they will put her in jail. But in spite of all the adverse circumstances, their dedication to Swami, that almost tears came to me. I said, whatever letters I will give you support to for your movement. And then I told them the famous saying in the Bible, blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. Their reward is greater in the kingdom of God. So I told her, so just, I know this bad you are going through that. Here we don't understand many countries how much freedom we have to express our love for God. Here, in spite of all that adverse circumstances, still their dedication and love for Swami was amazing and inspiring for me.
So Swami has touched them so deeply.
Yes. And also when I taught in St. Petersburg, then I went to Moscow after that. And these people from Kazakhstan, they follow me wherever I go like a shadow because they want to hear more and more of Swami. Shows their hunger for God. All these days they have suppressed, now their hearts are open. They have so much hunger for God. So that is wonderful to see that thing.
And you have a similar scenario in China too.
Oh yes, when I went there in China last year, the same thing. So they don't use the word Sai, but education, human values. They all talk about Swami's message only without using the name of Sai. But one place in the university, in a city called Guangzhou, they talked about Swami, comparing it to Confucius, like a great master. So they were talking like that. But Swami's name is going all over the world. Even countries like Indonesia, I told you before, in Jakarta, like when I went there, because that's a Muslim country, they took me to a school where Satsai education human values program is implemented. And there, all the Muslim children, they don't call meditation, call silent sitting. They're all sitting in deep meditation and just not moving, just following like any Satsai school. You don't call it Satsai, and it is rated one of the top schools by the government, and now government is giving a lot of encouragement for those schools. So to show how Swami's message is going out, so I said, we love Swami's form and name, but more important is message. Swami himself said, message is eternal. So more than important give the message than the messenger.
Fantastic. Even as you were mentioning about Thailand and the EHV movement in all these countries, I'm reminded of Africa and the work done by Sir Victor Kahn. I don't know if you had a chance to go anytime to Africa.
No, I didn't. I went to South Africa, they have Swami School, but in Zambia I didn't go, but that is why it's called Miracle School, where it has transformed so many. Main thing is that the street children, that is what the admiring thing is, people who are the parents and the government given up hope. This Mr. Kahn, Genevieve Kahn, right now she is in the ashram, so they have spent so much, they have their own time, energy and money to bring these children and educate them in secular education as well as, more importantly, in human values and make them good citizens. And the government has recognized that, their good work.
And similar things happening in Sati Sai schools. I think there's, as you mentioned, there are about 41 Sati Sai schools
around the world.
Some of them are doing exceptionally well.
Yeah, like Canada, the school that was also rated as one of the top schools in Sati Sai in Canada was rated. So many places because the good work they have doing that is recognized.
Many times these little children become change agents.
Yes, yes, they become angels. Amazing.
They are the change agents. They are the change makers.
Right.
They
right.
bring in the parents.
What is interesting is when I was in China, they were telling, they showed the whole human values PowerPoint presentation. The professors there, I heard they visited the Howard University some time ago, a couple of years ago. They were so much impressed. They had adopted that program. They said how much it has changed the children. Number one, their behavior at home, how they are respectful to their parents and they are helpful to their parents in the daily work. And then how they are behaving better than the other children in the school. And then how even in the community they want to be helpful. So in all levels, at the work, home and community, they are all becoming the examples of Swami's love.
So this is about the EHV movement. Can we now talk a little about the service that is done in the area of disaster management? Because I think a lot of time and effort and youth energy has been spent in the recent times in various countries. I think every country you have, there is something or the other they have to deal with, starting from the US to Thailand to...
Interesting. This is all, I feel Swami is the source. This is the time we formed first time this Guru Purnima International Disaster Relief Committee, and we have headed by the two people, John Benner and Jack Feely from North America, USA, as a co-chairman. Because the disasters are happening all over the world. Recently, you might have heard in the last year, then Hurricane Sandy in New York, and now recently that big tornado in Oklahoma, and now recently there are floods in Germany, and always some disaster going in Indonesia and different parts of the world. Now, our Satsai organization has been doing a lot of relief efforts in all these disaster-stricken areas. For example, in Haiti, we started in January 2010, immediately after the disaster. And most of the NGOs, after 6 months, they have left the scene. But our organization is the only organization, to my knowledge, NGO, till today we are doing the service. So we have spent a lot of time, energy and money in this project. So we wanted to fold it up this July. This is what we decided. We almost announced it. So just we announced in July 22nd, we had the board of directors meeting and Prashant Council. I said, we did almost for 3.5 years. We are closing because we spent. Then on 23rd morning, this is Swami's Leela. So 23rd July in the morning, one of the senior officers from South America, Leonardo Guter, he says, "Oh Narendra, I have a news this morning." So one senior devotee from Venezuela, he wants to give $300,000 to continue the Haiti relief work. So I said, "My God, this is Swami." So he doesn't want. So we are now going to continue the relief efforts.
Yes. In fact, they say, even we hear this news of what is happening in Uttarakhand in India.
Right.
They say that all the limelight and all the attention is there only for that brief period when, you know, the disaster actually happens and when it is on the headlines of newspapers. But once it recedes, many organizations also sort of withdraw. And that is the time now Sai organization in India is actually getting fully involved. And other day the All India President said how they want to build houses and etc. there. And it's really heartening to hear that it's happening in a similar way.
Yeah,
in Haiti.
Because the rehabilitation is the one which is very important. That is why even Haiti, we provided the food, we provide shelter, a few homes were built, water, medical relief work, support the orphanages, and giving gifts to the children, all the things. So because as you said, enthusiasm is only for the first few months and then dissipates. By the way, as a part of the international organization, in consultation with the All India organization, we are supporting even this Uttarakhand Himalayan relief too. So already a lot of our international organizations in different countries, they have sent some funds, and already yesterday itself I gave the beginning check to the Central Trust towards the relief efforts. So just because we are all one, we want to have this. That is why now we developed this disaster relief committee to develop guidelines. So we all have been doing service. Let us have a standard guidelines how the major organizations like
prepared.
That will do that. Yeah, be prepared and do it in a standard protocol, always tailoring to the needs of the local countries, but we need to have it. So we formed a disaster relief committee with members from different countries like Indonesia, USA, South America and all that. So our disaster relief efforts are acclaimed. Actually Haiti, the government of Haiti, just in the last 3 weeks ago, they gave a big recognition award to the SAI organization for the relief efforts. Another interesting thing is July we wanted to stop. Then the mayor of Port-au-Prince in Haiti, he said, no, it's such a wonderful job you are doing. Without anybody's knowledge, I will give you, because that is a poor country, $1,000 per month to pay the rent for the service. But I said, we spend much more than that, that is not enough. But meanwhile, probably he had such a good desire to do, this particular other devotee came up with this offer.
Fantastic. I think when people are seeing that here is an organization which is delivering, here is an organization where the money is very well spent, that it goes to the needy. A lot of people, even if they perhaps do not know about Swami or quote unquote, they may not be devotees, but they want to support. And I think that is what we see often.
Yes, you are right, because I have some of my patients, when I show them work, they said, oh doctor, this is little money, but can you use it for the project? I said, sure. I said, this is the only organization I know, that maybe others, where if you give, I said, $100, a recipient will get 150, because none of the officers, none of us take a salary, we spend our own money to go to the places, we take care of that, we provide even buy the supplies for the projects. So most of the other service organizations like Red Cross, World Vision, a lot of them, more than 40 to 60% goes towards the overhead and their advertisement and
administrative expense.
Whereas we
here there's no
expense actually, because most of them are volunteers, so all that is extra. So more than what you give, I said $100 you give, 150 goes towards the recipient. I said there's a uniqueness of our such SAI organization.
And you are mentioning about the relief efforts that is happening in the US itself.
Yes, in US we started right away after the Hurricane Sandy relief. Within the first week itself, that is amazing how people went. Even just about 2 weeks ago, some of the people, they lost homes and then they don't have appliances like washer, dryer, refrigerator. So we went to a big discount store and we are buying the appliances for those needy people who lost their homes. Now they are being rehabilitated and we are supplying the appliances. And same thing in Oklahoma, when the tornado, our organization right away went, just every place supplying the immediate food and some medical relief work and rehabilitation is being done. So it is right away they jump into the situation. They did that even in the past, Hurricane Katrina, when that came. Some Sai youth that time really took active part. They went there. Some people even stayed there for almost some a year continuously, and they did a lot of good work. This is happening in Indonesia, a lot of countries this happens.
Fantastic. Now, last 2-3 years, as you have been seeing the Sai movement in different countries, and you're seeing how the momentum is growing, what is your inner prompting to how to take the organization forward? And what are the different new initiatives that you think that is very much needed now at this juncture, as you see what is happening and as you foresee what needs to be done?
So one thing I feel is more strongly that Swami has his own way of calling people. Finally, he is the one who is pulling the strings, who comes, who doesn't come. This incident, like the other day, some Sevadal from India only, he was serving, such a humble and exemplary person. I was very touched with the humility and the way he was serving. I asked him, how long does he know Swami? Did he see? He never saw Swami before. He never came to Prashant. This is the first time. And I was amazed. So that means, unless Swami will, nobody can come. But I was touched. Similarly, it is not just, I'm giving this example, all over the world, there are some old timers, people were worried they may leave. Yes, they have left, some of them. But there are so many people who are newcomers who are coming, who never saw Swami physically, who never came to Prashantinilayam, they are coming into the organization. Even the recent pilgrimage we had from California, I heard at least 30 to 40% they never came to Prashanti before, and they came here and offered their homage to Swami. So Swami has his own way of touching. But for us as devotees who have experienced his love, and have heard his message, I feel it is our duty to share with more and more people. My feelings at this time, most emphasis is spreading his message and love to all over the world. My vision, my dream is that Swami's name should be known in all the countries in the world, and his name and glory should be sung in all languages, in all cultures. That is my vision, and hope with Swami's grace we can do that. And somebody, one of the senior devotees, was telling Swami's presence in Russia, so he was brushing it up, oh, that is a small thing. I said, please do not say that. I gave an example. One of my patients, who is a Christian missionary, he was working in Brazil. This was 50 years ago. Now he is about 90 years. He told me when he went to Brazil, there were only 5 people who attended his first sermon or talk in the church. And all those 5 were people from America in Brazil. So he worked there after, by the 20 years after he left, those people from 5 people, it grew to 30,000 people. And now they invited him for the 50th anniversary. They invited him because he did so much good work. Now he says 150,000 people are there and be getting benefited. I said, so we should not get our age. Our duty is to spread Swami's love. It may be small number now. So 50 years from now, 100 years from now, it will grow. So our duty is to set an example, spreading Swami's love and message through many means. First, most importantly, we should be the exemplars. Oh, this person. Because people watch us, how we behave at work, in the community, and what the service we do. That is number one. We should be the exemplars of Swami's message. How we practice. That is why the other day I gave a talk. People, we may give so many talks. Simple thing, like in the ashram also, or wherever it is, we need to talk sweetly, softly, be kind and compassionate. However much you may talk, that's why one person said, people are touched not by what you say or what you do, but what they feel. After your time spent, we feel so much touched by the love, compassion. That is what we should do. So I was telling all the officers, let us be loving. First love each other, the way Lord loved us, and then we should spread that love to the other people. And one of the best for that is, first being an example, then do the community service. That is what we are emphasizing more and more, community service, medical camps, feeding the poor, providing the shelter, giving the water, in many ways. And then we don't even talk about Swami. They ask who is the one who is making you do this service. That is the way we want to take the movement. So for that we formed this time some new committees, new initiatives. We have the youth committee, but the youth committee we have put the new international youth leader, one Dr. Mr. Shivendra, he's from Australia, he's the new international youth committee leader, and we have zonal youth coordinator from East Zone representing the youth. And then they are planning to have a World Youth Festival in 2015, July, on the occasion of 90th birthday. So we want to have 2 major events, one in July, the World Youth Festival, because before we used to call Youth Conference, just only the speakers exchange. Now we want to make it much more than just a conference, where people will have an exhibition, where we have the talent of the youth, where they have talented youth in music, art, or any other things, they all will be brought to there, so they will be having that youth festival. And in November, we'll have a World Conference, like before, where we'll have cultural programs and conference workshops and exhibition. And also this time we felt that in addition, we'll try to have pre-world conferences for both the general devotees as well as pre-world youth conferences. But in the past what happened is things end at the world conference level. Now we want to have post-world conferences in each country. Like 2014 we'll do pre-world and the beginning of 2015 for both youth and general devotees. And after the 2016, because we need to see how we implement the resolutions. Making resolution is nothing. Follow-up is important. How much we are putting into action what we have learned during these conferences, that is the post-world thing we want to do in 2016. That is one of the major things we discussed. And also we are planning for preparation for Swami's 90th birthday, arranging the pilgrimages representing various countries periodically coming from now on till the culminating Swami's birthday.
Fantastic. I think it's really exciting times ahead. Listening to you about the preparation and the youth festival especially, I think that is going to be a huge event. Very big event. And you mentioned about post-world conquest. I think that's a new idea, and that's something very much in line with what Bhagavan always wanted. As you mentioned, it's not the question of just deciding to do, it's actually seeing whether we are doing that. I think that is very beautiful. And as you mentioned about all this, the thought that comes to me is, if you see the number of people in the world today who have physically seen Swami or physically sort of experienced His love or come to Prashantanam, it is a microscopic minority. It's a very, very small number. And the number of people who have not had their chance is so huge. That universe is so huge and it's so growing. And now every day as we do different activities, there's so many people touched. So that is a huge universe. And as you mentioned, there is that hunger. And so that population, that group of people, is they are just going to come. And Prashanti, that's where, as I see it, you know, I always say it is the most happening place on the planet. And I always feel that, you know, you are only going to see more and more people who want to come here, just because now for the first time they are hearing Swami. And the number of people who are hearing Swami for the first time is a huge number.
Yes, you are right. When I traveled in Germany, I came across some youth. Same thing in Mexico, in Argentina. They never have come to Prashanti Nilayam, only they have seen picture of Swami. But their dedication and intensity of love for Swami is amazing. I can really say amazing. And I told them actually in one of the talks, I said, Jesus said, blessed are those who have seen and believed me. But more blessed are those who have not even seen me and believe in me. So I said, you are more blessed because you have never seen him, but your faith and love for God is so intense. I said, that is really touched me, because some of them, they do as much work as some of us who are exposed to Swami do that. That is really the grace of the Lord, to have that kind of faith.
With that faith, I think they experience divine.
Yes.
They experience those miracles, apparently.
Yes, many of them, they said, Swami, just we feel His presence. I think I shared this before also when I went to the place called Venice, Italy. So there was, I gave a talk, that is a city of canals, it is a beautiful city. And I was surprised there was devotees there in such a small city in Italy. After I finished the talk, there was a lady who is in her 80s. She comes to talk to me and says, oh, Dr. Reddy, it was a very beautiful talk, but I never went to see Swami. Now I don't know whether I should go, but whenever I think about Him, whenever I pray to Him, all my prayers are answered and everything is answered. I said, ma'am, you don't need to go and live with you. God is living with you. They said, beautiful. They said, those who lived with God and God is living with you. So before we all come to live now, we have to take God with us, and wherever we are, we should have God live with us.
I think the number of people who are feeling that God is living with them is only increasing now.
Yes, correct. That is what I said. More and more I feel, even though, as I said, as an officer, as a devotee, our duty to share Swami's message and love, Swami is His own way of touching people. I am completely convinced about that during my travels. Because some of those places, Swami, the only country Swami visited is in Africa, the Uganda and Kenya, Tanzania. But here, in remote parts of Russia, South America, and Central America, Europe, you see, and there is not just a lukewarm devotion, intense devotion for Swami shows Swami has His own way of calling His people and
it makes you more and more feel that, you know, you can, being in the organization and doing anything is just your opportunity, because it's not as if you are anytime going to do anything for Swami's glory.
You are 100% right. Swami used to say in those days, I don't need the organization. Now I understand. He doesn't need the organization. He was so kind and compassionate to lend His name to the organization and for everything, of the institutes and everything, so that we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. That is the only thing, that is His infinite compassion, grace and blessing to be able to be part of the organization or any of His institutes, whatever it is, whether educational, medical or any institute, to be able to serve Him. And there are so many devotees outside the organization who are as good or better than who belong to the organization. So we should never forget that.
Fantastic. We need the organization because we want some mechanism to work and we want some satsang and some group so that we can express our love. But Swami is much, much beyond the Satya Sai organization.
I know. He's, because that's why even yesterday one of the senior devotees was asking, oh, that devotee, I said, which organization did Mera belong to? Which organization did Tyagaraja belong to? Which organization Saint Paul? All this, you don't need to belong. There is love is God to God, but the organization is a platform which makes very conducive to our spiritual growth, because like-minded people getting together, singing His glory, talking about His glory and doing His work. So it gives a platform where, which is much easier, conducive to increase our spiritual fervor.
Let me ask you something different. When Bhagwan's physical form was there, you had the opportunity of interacting with Him many times during the year, and you had the chance to take instructions from Him directly about the initiatives of the organization and the projects that the organization wants to take up. But how is it now? How do you deal with this now that you don't have Bhagwan from whom you can take directions about the growth or the mission of the organization?
Yeah, this is a very important point. So it was much actually easier when Swami physically was present, so we could run to Him for, sometimes I feel guilty that even for some so-called silly things we used to run, Swami, we need to do that. He was so kind to give us guidance, even simple things like when we had to menu for the youth conference and Swami said, no, put the sweets, you had only one sweet, put two sweets, or even the putting the badges for the women, we should have different colors. He was so, like, I can't even believe, He was trying to give guidance, everything, but going to arrange the events from His direct guidance is a learning experience. That's where they say living with God is education. The real education, so attention to details, how to take care of that, I learned from Him. That itself experience has helped. So even in His physical absence, even though He's with us, we all know that He's omnipresent and we feel His presence. That experience helps us in making the events ready. But still, His physical form is not there. So my inner Swami is there whom I pray for the guidance He gives. And Swami, one time I asked Him, this was many years ago, 20 years ago, Swami, I come here and You give the guidance, but sometimes, you know, Swami is expert in ignoring You too. You come here and you won't talk to me and you don't, and sometimes I may not be able to come to Prashant to ask You guidance. What should I do? Swami says, sit in a quiet corner for 15 minutes, pray to Me with a longing heart. Lord, I don't know what to do, give Me guidance and I will give You, and what You hear in Your inner voice is, that is My voice. So that is number one I take. Listen to Swami, pray to Swami for His guidance and what I take. Then what I do is, now as a leader in the organization, I sit down with the other leaders. This is what I think. What is your feelings? Because I believe in consultation and dialogue. I don't feel we have the authority to say that thou shalt do this. We need to consultation process. One time some senior devotees telling, oh, now Swami is not there, now the organization takes the place of Swami. I said, nothing can take the place of Swami. Swami is infinite, Swami is perfection, and we are all fallible. We have our own imperfections and we are finite, whether it be organization, trust or anything. So this is where, as leaders, the consultation, dialogue and discussion and helps. That's what I always do. First I pray to Swami for guidance, come up with some ideas, then I sit down with my colleagues and the leaders and present that and discuss with them. And we come to a consensus. The majority feel that's the right way to go, all of them, then we make a decision. That is how, then everybody feels they're involved in the decision process. Then it moves forwards. Instead of one person dictating what to do, when people are involved in the decision process, then that becomes
success. Everybody owns that idea.
Yes, they feel they're part of it.
So that was the first part of the conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, who is the chairman of the Prashanti Council, which oversees the activities of the International Sai Organization. In the rest of the conversation, another 45 minutes, he goes on to share how Swami guided him directly in those years when he had this chance of personal interaction with Bhagwan, and instances when Swami revealed to him his divinity, instances when he was amazed when Bhagwan, for those split seconds, parted that wheel of Maya and showed him who he really was. And he also goes on to share how he built that relationship with Bhagwan, and also how the organization is now proceeding, what is the vision, the short-term and long-term goals of the organization, and the different commandments, the different characters, the different attitudes that one expects now from every member of the Sai organization. He shares his reflections on all these things in the next 45 minutes. And to listen to that, we will have to wait for one more week. Next week, on this same hour, Outside Inside and Deep Inside, I'll play for you the second part of this conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy. This was recorded on July 26th, 2013. And it's time now, dear listeners, to wind up this session of Thursday Live Broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. It's 9:52. I know it's been a long day, but a lovely Thursday when we have spent so much time thinking about Bhagwan and ruminating on his message and on his mission. Even as a sign off now, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the students from Sathya Sai School of Delhi on 5th May 2013. They presented here in Sai Kulwant Hall. You will listen to this presentation now by the Balvika students, by the students from the Sathya Sai School. Thank you so much for being with us all this while. If you have any feedback or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Please feel free to send your comments, because only when we know what you feel, only when we know how you would like us to improve, can we pray to Bhagwan and ensure that we incrementally improve our services. Thank you so much. And finally, a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashantanalayam.